This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganampake Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Hotel Artemis is now in cinemas. The movie got a lot of buzz after the first trailer came out because it kind of looked like a play on John Wick. Like, what would the hotel in John Wick be like if we focused on that story instead?
Yeah, the first trailer made it look like just the Continental. There was none of this future elements to it at all in the first trailer.
Which is, I think, greatly misleading because the movie has so few similarities with either the Continental or John Wick. I mean, the only real similarity is that both places are governed by really strict rules.
And their hotels.
That's about it, yep. Right? The movie's written and directed by Drew Pearce. This is his directorial debut, actually. If you don't know who he is, he actually co-wrote Iron Man 3, and he also wrote the story for Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. The movie stars Jodie Foster, Dave Bautista, Sterling K. Brown, Charlie Day, Jeff Goldblum, Sofia Boutella, and Zachary Quinto. All of the characters have odd names like The Nurse, Everest, Waikiki, Acapulco.
But they do have names. Even the thugs have names. So
that's right.
In our new scale, you know, if your thugs have names, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Thug one and thug two, which says you haven't put an awful lot of thought into it.
Yeah, that's true.
This movie, Drew Pearce has kind of put in a lot of thought into all of the characters, right? It's a futuristic thriller set about a decade from now.
Yes, 2028.
During, at this point, we are reminded many times throughout the film, the worst riots LA has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a little too often.
It's probably like the worst riots LA has ever seen this year.
That's right. clean water has been privatized. Rich people got it. Poor people don't. And the Hotel Artemis, which was once this place that celebrated, I guess, Hollywood, has now been reduced to a members-only hospital for criminals that's run by Jodie Foster, also known as The Nurse.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the setup.
Yeah.
Right? Sterling K. Brown shows up with his brother after a bank robbery gone wrong, and that's where the story picks up. But then, of course, we meet all of these characters with their own little agendas and secrets, except maybe Charlie Day. I have no idea what he's doing in this film.
Being really annoying.
Yeah.
Like he is
Charlie Day.
In every
being Charlie
movie.
Day, yeah. I think there are quite a few storylines that I just feel like a little unnecessary. I wanted it to just be about the hotel where the criminals sort of walk in and out, but there's a bigger story that it ends up falling into, and I just
is there though? Even that bigger story is not much. There's a line that Sterling K. Brown says twice in this movie, which is "Work what you got, not what you hope for," and
that feels like
what Drew Pearce kind of did was he halfway worked with what he actually had. Like, he has Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
He has Jeff Goldblum, who's like, and like Jeff Goldblum's fun for the like 5 minutes he's in the movie.
Yes.
Zachary Quinto is chewing the furniture and like, you know, just like grinding on the bars of the cage to get into the hotel thing. There's only 5 rooms in the penthouse. Actually, it's the penthouse of the hotel. That,
correct.
That's all that's left. But it feels very bitty.
It does. You quoted that line, and that's what the movie feels made up of.
Yeah.
A series of really catchy lines. Mm. Like Sofia Boutella has this line about, you fix people, I break them.
You're the employee, I'm the business.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Really catchy lines, but I don't know if it makes up a really solid whole. And that's...
My favorite was, do you want me to take out your ex-husband? It's like, oh no, he lives in Florida now. Life already took him out.
Yes, that was a very good line. But here's the thing. The movie has a lot of potential, and it could have been this really precise thriller.
Yeah.
But it feels a bit flabby because of the Charlie Day character that doesn't do anything.
No, or the police lady, they
say.
The police lady. Yeah, so there's all this side quest stories that don't do anything. Even the Zachary Quinto thing, right?
Even the setup of the water rights and everything outside, it reminded me a lot of Strange Days, Catherine Bigelow's movie.
That's right.
Because it doesn't need to be set in the future, really, this movie. Like, Strange Days had the thing of the, like, memory recorders. The only thing that really sticks out in this as well is that Sophia Boutella is a murder, is a contract killer who her clients like to have to record first person the deaths of their victims.
Yeah.
Everything else, like the 3D printed liver, you could just say, oh, he needs a bullet out or something. You know what I mean? Like, it could all be very easily rewritten to take place just today.
Yeah. The sci-fi element didn't have to be there.
No.
No.
It doesn't add anything, and it's like, it doesn't add any, there's no thematic thing there.
But I think it's slight enough that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I know, but for, yeah, but I think.
But then why bother?
Yeah, to echo Ian, you could always just do it in 2018 or 2019 where these guys have got special printer technology. So it doesn't have to be 10 years in the future. Mm. You know, it's just like, oh, these are just things these guys have.
Because there's hints of like, you know, there's you get code names based on the five rooms you have, Waikiki and Nice and all the other names of places. There's a hint of a relationship between Sterling K. Brown's character and Sophia Boutella's character. Yeah. There's a hint of a backstory with Dave Bautista, who does more with less lines in this than he did in all of Escape Plan.
Yes. Mm.
He gets to have a great line about like, I'm a healthcare professional, but the reverse is also true. If you mess with me, I will mess up your health.
Yeah.
But... what's happening with his character? It's like three lines of like he might have been brought into the hospital when he was a kid, and stayed on as the orderly.
Yeah,
that's nothing.
There's
a nice, beautiful scene of Jodie Foster sitting there reminiscing about her kid, and it's a very nice scene and everything like that. But that's played off against her kind of her accent is kind of like distracting, and she does this kind of hobble that she does through the hospital. And I understand she's old, and maybe that's the best way to go with the hip and stuff like that. But it feels like I'm doing a bit.
Yeah,
a little bit like the terminal with. Mike Myers, you know what I mean? It's like, that's Mike Myers. You know what I mean? It's like, it's Mike Myers under a fat suit and loads of makeup, but I know that's Mike Myers.
Yeah, I think the Jodie Foster run thing always just distracted me every time she does it. I'm just like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You're not that old to have to run like that. I mean, if you're Kathy Bates, but the idea is that why does she have to walk and run like that? Sure, we don't have...
If she went faster or slower, it would be fine. It's just this weird loping gait, and it's another one of those weird decisions on top of all these other weird decisions that kind of make you go, why was I watching this again?
This movie kind of reminded me a lot of The Terminal. I think it's better than The Terminal in many ways, but it does remind me of that style of filmmaking. I mean, this one was made for $15 million, which means it was a very, very tiny budget. Mm. And in that sense, I think I appreciate what the director was trying to do, in that the movie's strength really lies in its setting. And he didn't exploit that setting enough, because he could have gone with a real locked room mystery, right? I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, I looked up the production designer. His name is Ramsey Avery, and he did Minority Report and Tomorrowland. Mm. So he's got some real cred behind him. And you can see it.
It has some nice retro-fitting style. Yeah. Like, all the doors are, like, old Art Deco, but they had these huge locks with giant cables coming off them that disappear into the rest of the building.
And there is a sense of faded glory, right? Yeah. I mean, the world around it feels really, really lived in. And so all of that potential did feel kind of wasted.
Mm.
Even though what he was trying to do, I got.
Yeah, I mean,
didn't pull it off.
If there were three rooms or four rooms in the hospital and there was some... There's no theme. There's nothing, like, there's at the end of this, what has Sterling K. Brown learned? Or what has any of the characters learned at the
end
of
it? And there's not even enough double cross.
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting all of the characters to have enough secrets that they kind of turn on each other.
Yeah.
Or
play each other almost off like on the other, right?
Almost like a Cluedo version of Hotel Artemis.
Like a Tarantino film.
Yeah, there's a reason for everybody to be there.
There's another great moment with Sophie Boutella, kind of hints that it's like, don't cross my line.
Yeah.
Which would have been great if they'd set that up earlier.
Yeah, if we knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than just there, she's a really cool killer.
I think also so many great actors almost hurts it. Who's the main character?
Well, it is Jodie Foster.
In a way, but like...
I was going to go with Sterling Brown.
You get Sterling K. Brown for a lot more of it.
You do.
But neither of them, she has an arc, he has a smaller arc. And it's like, neither of them are like thematic, or it's not like you're like, oh, this is like one of the great stories of the ages. It's not something you can reduce down to like the hero's journey or something like that. Not that everything has to be the hero's journey, but it's like at the end of this, it's like some stuff happened to some people, and then some people drove away, and some people walked away, and some people left in boxes. And that's about it.
Mm.
And... it needed more style or more better lines or something. It's not Pulp Fiction.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I think it did have a tremendous amount of style, though. As in,
it
felt knowingly cool.
What's weird is Cliff Martinez did the soundtrack, and I can't remember anything about the soundtrack.
No, I can't either.
Like, he did Drive and all Nicholas Winding Refn movies, and he generally does good soundtracks, but coming out, I only realized that at the end, and I was like, that felt like summed up the movie for me. I would probably forget I saw this in a couple of months' time.
And I think it's not... terrible that yeah. you would remember it. This is just forgettable.
Yeah.
It's just, I saw that Jodie Foster movie once and you go, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay.
No, it'll come up when you say, Jodie Foster hasn't done anything in a while. And then someone will say, oh, that hotel movie.
It's weird because she is such a good screen presence and a rare screen presence because we don't see much of her at all.
So this feels like wasted.
It does feel wasted because there are moments when you see the Jodie Foster performance.
Mm.
And in those moments, she really shines.
Yeah.
There are all these close-ups on her. Actually, not even a close-up. There's this one scene where she exits the hotel to go look at a policeman, right? A policewoman who's injured and lying outside. Now, Jodie Foster's
and
nice bit of
storytelling. It's not like Chanel, like she's sitting at home going, oh, I'm so agoraphobic. It's it's in references and other people saying, when was the last time you left? Was it 20 years ago? 22 years ago?
She's got a serious case of anxiety, right? And all of that comes to play within those 3 minutes. You know, you see her struggle to actually open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Then when she's outside and she's facing off with these
three
riot squad people, you can see everything in her face. She doesn't really say anything. Mm. Like, oh, I'm trying to help this person. I'm trying to help this person. She's stuttering around it, right? And that performance is fantastic. But we get too few of those moments in the film.
I would say just maybe one or two. I'll
okay,
be honest. I would just say one or two. I don't think,
I mean, it's really a mixed bag. I mean, I think there were moments I enjoyed while watching it.
Mm. But if you're going to do something that's small scale and, you know, intimate, you have to have a kicker in the tail.
You do.
And it didn't have that.
Yeah.
Like, you could have one hotel room and, like, four people in there, and you can make, a locked room mystery that can be absolutely gripping. And this didn't feel like that.
You know, a small budget film for me is a little bit like a short story versus a novel.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, writing a novel is a very different process from writing a short story. And a short story's got to have, like you said, that kicker. It's got to be, every word needs to belong in its place.
It needs to be chosen really carefully.
It needs to be chosen really carefully. It's like a piece of poetry, right? Meanwhile, with a novel, it forgives a lot of sins. And I think $270 million will forgive a lot of sins. $15 million, locked room mystery, not so much. I think the expectations are pretty high. Also, when you have a trailer making people think it's John Wick.
Yeah.
Not great. Not great.
There are just way too many... No, I wouldn't say too many characters, but just too many unnecessary side stories. The whole Zachary Quinto calling early in the film, you go, but that means nothing
later
on.
That whole section could have just been like the Wolf King of LA just arrived and he's hurt.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't need to be that he's coming
locking,
in an
he's
hour.
He's locking up all the doors.
Yeah.
It's like, just why? Just
not only that,
you got some more Zachary Quinto in your movie?
You don't need Zachary Quinto to have called in, oh, he's coming in an hour. Oh, we can't hold a room for him. It's like, that bit's unnecessary. The policewoman. Why?
If it could build up to you break your own rules, then these are the consequences to it. But even that kind of just petered out.
Doesn't really sort of
it's not like,
because
yeah,
there wasn't any real
theme.
Consequence to Jodie Foster breaking her own rules.
Yeah, or even, you know, like movies have done it, you know, you flash back to, I hate to say, a title card with each of the rules, and as they break them as they go along.
Yeah.
That could make it stick out in your mind.
That would have been stylish,
Something's done that before.
Well, that's the other thing, right? We don't necessarily get to see any of the rules. It flashes.
It's bigger in the trailer.
Quickly. Yeah, it's bigger in the trailer.
Right.
It flashes very quickly on screen, but you can't actually read all of them.
Yeah.
Hotel Artemis is now in cinemas. Go check it out and let us know what you think. There aren't many screenings, so if you do want to check it out, you have to be quick about it. I'm on at Uma Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.